I think it's really interesting that this last album was self-titled as your second record. Often a self-titled record is someone's debut or is used as kind of a reset point to bring the artist into a new era. What about this project felt like it was right to be self-titled? Do you see it as a reset or shift from your previous work?
No, I feel like it's more of a kind of realization of previous work, I guess. I mean, to be honest, like one of the reasons it's self-titled is because I didn't have like a better title. But I also... It also felt right when I decided to do it because of other reasons. Like I felt like I was like realizing myself outside of music and within the music as well. So no, but I feel like ever since Pleasure Is Everything, I feel like I've been on the same path, like musically and sort of with lyrics and stuff that I'm still, I think I'll be one of those artists who kind of is always developing or driving towards the same thing rather than someone who has like eras or whatever, or like completely different sounds. I also just wanted to do a self-titled album to like reference the sort of tradition of like singer-songwriters who do that. And like you said, it feels like there's always a moment in a singer-songwriter's career where it feels right to do that.
Going back to touring, I wanted to ask you, I imagine that kind of the frenzy and the constant unfamiliarity being away from home could get quite challenging, particularly touring such a personal record that feels so reflective of home and connection and introspection. What do you find keeps you grounded on the road, or where do you kind of find those moments to yourself when it feels kind of hectic?
Yeah, it's a really empathetic question. I mean, I definitely had moments last year where like I wasn't grounded, to be honest, because I've historically like struggled with looking after myself and stuff, and on tour that kind of is exacerbated. So if I start to lose like healthy routines or things that I know work for me, kind of my mental health, I guess, then it can all kind of fall apart quite quickly. But I do, the answer is kind of the set really, and the songs themselves, because those are the only things that stay the same every night. The amazing thing about crowds is that obviously every individual is different, but you can create with a song and a crowd of however many hundred people, like you can create a feeling of home every night and a repetition to that. And that's quite, I mean, it's extremely grounding. And I'm very like, I suppose thorough in like my repetition on tour. Like I set up the same every single night. Like I have like a real ritual around that, and that's my like grounding ritual. And the set on like on a given tour is like, I mean, it's like the same every night. And I'm quite like ritualistic about that. And it helps me be present when I'm singing the words and when I'm performing the music. And that's the ground, that's the only thing I've found that can really like help ground me. Because other than that, it's all like, it's all different every night, and it's all quite chaotic and fast, and like it's fun, it's really fun, but it's sort of is mentally, physically and emotionally draining at times. But I'm working on that because ultimately I love touring and I love music and I love what I do, but I also like, I like can't keep crashing out, you know, every time I go on tour, like I need to maintain balance. But that's kind of like an ongoing thing in life. But yeah, it's a really good question, because it's a peculiar experience of life, for sure.
I guess with that, do you find that solitude is quite important for your creativity?
Definitely, and I think solitude with writing is sort of something that I've connected with creativity from a young age, and I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. I mean, my dad was a writer, and he is a guy probably still who like likes a lot of solitude, I suppose. So I've always connected creativity with like having one's own space and like working away whatever it is you're doing, and I've always been like intrigued by that from being a kid. I was like, oh, that's interesting, he has a space where he does that, and also maybe where he doesn't do that for hours on end and just like sits there and smokes like 60 cigarettes or whatever. But there's still something sacred about that to me, I suppose, because I also think sitting, being in solitude and not necessarily making something, and then, because really a song doesn't take that long to write, but it can be the previous like maybe 5 hours of sitting there just like getting into some kind of state of mind, and then maybe at the last bit you're able to channel something. So like I miss that, if I'm honest. I do miss that, because even now I feel like when I'm at home, I feel like I've got a million things on my mind, and like Yeah, it can be hard to just like find some peace and quiet, but especially on tour it's really hard. But I do like in the van and stuff, I write poems and words on my laptop and stuff like that, just to keep, I mean, I'd go mad if I didn't do that.
The brutal bridge of betrayal.
I wanted to ask as well, I read that you also grew up really interested in art and you studied fine arts yourself at Goldsmiths. I feel like lyrically you draw on this kind of strong imagery sometimes, which can feel really immersive in a way, and I feel like you can really capture a moment or feeling in those lyrics. I guess with that background in art, would you say that you're still a visual person, or how do you kind of see that creative background mesh with your musical output?
I'm not that much of a visual person in terms of like what I make. And even when I went to art school, I wasn't making anything visual. I was doing like writing and performance and like music, actually, because it was very open-ended like that. Like fine art could be anything really. But visually, like I sort of wouldn't make anything visual, I don't think, necessarily like painting or drawing or stuff. But I do think about painting a lot when I'm thinking about it, especially like the texture or arrangement of a sound. Often I'll just jump to a reference in my head that's like a thick like painting or something like that. Like, I want it to feel like that, or I want it to feel like a sort of really like minimal painting. I'll just kind of jump to that just as a texture really, or a composition. But I don't even know if that comes from that I studied art. I don't know, I grew up in London and I would go to galleries and just been looking at paintings and stuff for a long time, and it's kind of there in the back of my head somewhere. But yeah, art school for me was more of a process of like bringing a lot of interest together and then ultimately coming out of it and being like, I feel closer to being like a unified person in terms of my like creative interest, and I want to put all of that into like what I'm doing now really.
Yeah, you said that like writing and poetry was the kind of area that you really sat in at art school, and I wanted to ask a bit about that as well, because I understand that's always kind of been a really big part of your life. Do you see music and poetry as quite distinct interests now, or have they grown to be entangled with each other over time for you?
Yeah, they definitely have grown to be more entangled, and I think a lot of the artists I'm drawn to, who are like my contemporaries or something, are quite like lyric focused. It's just, for me personally, it's been like a really fun process of like bringing some of that influence just like into the way I make music. And yeah, I just have different approaches to writing songs, where like I've just started to enjoy maybe starting with the lyrics sometimes as well, and like just being quite intentional about the lyrics. And I like reading poetry aloud to myself, or having someone read poetry to me, or reading poetry to someone, because I feel like, you know, if you go back to like William Blake or whatever, it's like song, every like songs, the poems were called songs, and I think poems obviously have a rhythm and a musicality to them. And the way I sing, I suppose, and the nature of like what my voice is, quite like a speaking voice, kind of speaking, singing. And so like, I like thinking about the boundary between those two and like what it feels like to just, yeah, speak, sing over a song. Or like an artist like Leonard Cohen or something, who was obviously a poet first. Oh, I think he was a poet first, but he was definitely a poet as well as being a singer-songwriter. And his voice is also quite speaking. And I think when he wrote Suzanne, which was like his first song, I think I'm right in saying that, I saw an interview with someone where they were saying like when he presented it, he was like, I don't even know if this is a song, but here it is. And it's like, no, it's definitely a song. But he was coming at it from like, is this just me reading a poem over like playing guitar? And I suppose because of the voice I've been given or whatever, and like the background I've had, I find a lot of inspiration in that, blurring that line.
Do you find that when you're writing poetry, you are always writing with the intention that it's going to turn into a song, or is it just kept as poetry for you?
I think a lot of the time I find like an image that then crops up in a song, almost like sampling from myself, I guess. And also it just gets my mind into another place. To be honest, I try and not do anything with any senses of outcome. Just try and do it, and I will often find that when I'm writing maybe, or when I'm trying to just like add vocals to something from the top of my head, I'll find myself using an image, even if it's just a word that keeps coming up. Suddenly that word will start coming up in my song. So there's a lot of crossover, but it's not like I'm going like every word of this poem needs to fit into this song or whatever like that. Think of it as sampling really. Yeah, I'll take a word, or I'll take a little phrase, all part of the same big cement mixer.
Yeah, no, I feel like that makes a lot of sense, because I feel like, depends on the song, but there's definitely some songs where the lyrics are a little bit more disjointed and like just a couple of words grouped together rather than like telling a full story. That makes a lot of sense in your process. In terms of sound, anyone familiar with your work knows how much the harmonica is this distinct part of your sound, but I guess it's kind of an obscure instrument that you really come across too often in modern music nowadays. When did you first pick up the harmonica and really want to thread that into your work?
It was when I made Pleasure Is Everything. I had like a lot of instrumentals that were, I don't know, almost like electronic music, really. I mean, some of it still is kind of, like the song Pleasure Is Everything is kind of an electronic track, really. But I kind of just had a session where I was like, I actually want to sing on this stuff. I'd always sung and I wanted to sing on it. It didn't feel like fully mine. And then with that session, I just brought the harmonica. I just recorded the vocals and then I was like trading, almost like, you know, when like drummers trade fours, like, one drum will do four bars and another drum will do four bars, or like I was kind of doing that with the harmonica. I was just like that, and it was for me just like a nice balance because it was kind of high pitched and my voice is low pitched, and like it just felt right. It wasn't one of those like, oh my god, like this is my like sound, like this is, I'm the harmonica guy, which it wasn't like. It was just about music and like sounded good. It wasn't like a eureka moment, it was just like, yeah, it felt right in a way that was quite calm. And also, it was an instrument that it felt quite deep, or like it felt quite integral to me in a way, because I remember having like, my dad had one when I was a kid. My parents aren't musical, but like, it was just one of those things that we had around, and like I would pick it up. And I've said this before in interviews, but I love instruments, and I love the feeling of feeling like a kid when I'm playing music, because I guess again, like to come back to that word, like egoless or whatever, I like toys, instruments that are like toys, and yeah, just it felt like that. And then I started playing live and I had the holder, and that felt like, that was just fun and it felt cool, and people were like, oh, that's cool, and I was like, yeah, it's fun.
We'll do it then.
Yeah. Yeah, it just felt natural. It was like, yeah, it felt like me, you know, it just felt like right.
I think there's this really beautiful honesty and rawness to that record and your music generally that I really enjoy and appreciate. For you, when it comes to touring and playing these songs live, what's it like translating some of your more intimate work from recording and writing in maybe a more curated space or studio to the stage in such a public interaction?
Yeah, it's kind of my favourite thing about what I do, really, is like that process of translating it and taking something that was started off as like an idea in my room or whatever, and then suddenly, actually not suddenly, like gradually, it becomes a thing that hundreds of people are sharing in a room together, and that just makes me feel really excited. There's something about that translation from like the private to the sort of shared experience that is just like really, has been really inspiring for me. And slowly, sort of gradually through the process of like, first I'll share it with Jamie, who I work with on the songs, and then like my band, and then you've got like four people interpreting something. It completes the kind of circuit of what I'm doing, where like something starts as just like a sketch or an idea, and then I try and keep the sort of lyrics quite, yeah, like you said, like I want it to feel raw and stuff, but I also want it to be kind of open-ended so that like the audience can kind of complete the circuit. It always feels really magical, to be honest, like sharing it with people in the room, and it's my favorite part of it. It makes it all feel worthwhile and like real and shared experience and something like an offering. Like I want to be generous with the way I perform and the way I, what I offer to the world, I guess.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, because I feel like lyrically you do have like this ability where you can tell as a listener that you're being really vulnerable and that you're open in your work, but you've still left it in a way that leaves room for ambiguity and interpretation, where it makes it really, I don't know, yeah, as you said, quite beautiful for the listener to be able to go, yeah, I can insert myself into these lyrics and I can apply this to my own life. Yeah, in a way that I guess maybe keeps a part of that for yourself, where we don't know exactly what you're talking about, but we can find a way to apply it to ourselves. It's nice to know there's maybe a little bit of a conscious intention there for those lyrics.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it, to be honest. I can't really say it better myself. But I think that's something I've always done by default artistically, just whatever it is what I'm doing, I've always seen it as like important, like emotionally, and I don't know, maybe even like politically or something, to like not fully fall into like meaning. Because I just think that I said meaning then, like, for the benefit of people who are listening, like, with quote scare quotes over them. But, like, I find that maybe that's not how I relate to art necessarily myself. So, like, I just derive more imagination and sort of pleasure from something where I do feel like I can partake in whatever maybe meaning is going on. But it's not, like, a conscious thing where I won't go back and purposefully, like, obscure lyrics that I think have come out in a kind of really raw way. But I just think that's how the world is, really, and, like, that's how I interpret emotions, and the world is sometimes not in a way that can be like fully pinned down, and I guess I like to reflect that in the stuff I make. Yeah.
Do you find that it's quite important to you to kind of keep a part of that meaning, if you will, to yourself and not fully share that?
Yeah, like I definitely think it's important. Like I've been trying to figure out since I started doing interviews, like I've just been trying to figure out how to give a half decent interview without talking about the stuff too much. I'm not like that good at talking about the songs. I don't really want to, if I'm honest, but I like the idea of talking about like the creative process in general, or like life and music. I just don't think it benefits anyone to like take a song sheet out or a lyric sheet out and like absolutely like take it to court and like inspect every like way it could possibly be interpreted. I think if people want to do that, that's amazing for them, but I'm not the one who's gonna sit there and be the jury. Like I'm not gonna confirm or deny anything about it. The words and images are really, they come from somewhere specific in a way, like, or they come from somewhere that I feel is quite deep. I find it a hard one because I think you can ruin stuff by talking about it too specifically.
No, I understand. I think it's kind of an old concept to like be like, oh, you like spent all this time working on this thing and put your heart and soul into it, and now tell me about it and I'm a stranger to you. It's an odd concept, and it's never going to be easy to share your art in that way.
Yeah, I've been working with a guy over the last few days, and we've been talking about the sort of unconscious or the sort of egoless element of creativity, and I think part of that is not needing to, like, you know, I can't remember who said it, but like leave the door open and let God in, you know, or whatever, or like channel something. And then I find it a very counterintuitive process to then go back and sort of analyze what happened. And I mean, I make a lot of music, and I know when I'm forcing it, and those are the ones where I could probably tell you, oh yeah, like I was trying to make something about whatever. But I think the ones that end up feeling the best are the ones where you just like manage to imprint like a direct line from how I was feeling that day onto the song, and it can only be articulated in that way. And to then like add another layer of commentary on that is just like pointless, basically. But I'm not the first person to have said it, and I think what's interesting is that I also like music media and stuff like that. I like reading artists' interviews, so, and I like watching artists get interviews, so like I'm trying to figure out how to like be a be a good interviewee whilst not like actually talking about anything I've ever done.
Let me try to direct the conversation away from me, even though this is about me.
Yeah, let's talk about you instead.
Connection.